It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. In a few seconds here, we'll be joined by our good friend Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
What else do we have here?
Rick, I know it's kind of late, but I think I know what happened to those girls with no nipples. I had an ex-girlfriend with three nipples.
Okay. That just raises all kinds of questions.
If you're going to call in or email with a thing about it, you had a girl with three nipples, you got to at least provide some sort of explanation about how they were all dispersed.
Is there some sort of a clumping of nipples on one? And then, anyway,
a clumping of nipples is like a gaggle of geese. Clumping of nipples. I think that in the big cosmic grab bag of body parts, some take too many and others are left with nothing. Like so many Soviets waiting for toilet paper. P.S. Everybody's garden center could use some help with their website. I was trying to locate carnivorous plants. Oh, okay. So I want to know where I can get them. Well, just go there. You walk into Everybody's Garden Center and you walk in. You walk about 13, 14, 15 feet and you take a right. And there's a whole section of carnivorous plants there. Perfect for your children. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show for the Ministry of Truth, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skillings, the most vilified figure from the financial scandal of the decade, was sentenced to 24 years behind bars.
Fantastic.
The harshest sentence yet. And Skilling has been ordered to be confined to home wearing an ankle bracelet and has told the U.S. Bureau of Prisons he would like to go to Butner Federal Prison in North Carolina.
I'm sorry, to where?
Butner Federal Prison, where John Hinckley used to
Butner,
call home.
I barely knew her. Mm-hmm.
He insisted he was innocent yet remorseful.
Uh-huh. Okay, whatever you say. Fantastic. Rick, thanks for the trip down memory lane, says this email. Do you remember how after every presidential election you get canceled? I remember in January 2001 tuning in and finding Liz Wilde. I also remember in 2005 listening to Don and Mike, then coming back out of my delivery vehicle and hearing oldies. Yeah, can't wait for the 2008 election, finding out what kind of firing will have happened this time. Yar, yar, he says. Well, I aim to please, sir. It'll be a surprise for both of us.
Meanwhile, let's go back to column A.
Column A.
And refresh it, if you will.
All right, let me close the hanging with Hogan thing that I was queuing. All right, here we are. I'm ready.
With the daily barrage of bad news from Iraq, the White House is trying to refocus your attention on the U.S. economy. Tony Snow says there is only one thing you should think about while voting, and that is the economy.
More people are working than ever before. More people own homes. More people are making on average more money than ever before. And basically, the American Dream Club is getting bigger.
Oh, are you kidding me? Did he really say the American Dream Club? First of all, Dream Club sounds vaguely pornographic and vaguely threatening.
It sounds like something from Publishers Clearinghouse.
I was going to say it sounds like a thing that we...
with the big cardboard check?
I was going to say the American Dream Club sounds like a thing that we threaten to go and use on other countries if they don't obey us. Don't make me drink this American Dream Club over there, you sons of bitches. This is a completely misleading soundbite, first of all.
More people are working than ever before.
Okay, that's only because there are more people in this country than ever before. This is a completely subjective...
What is that supposed to mean?
When he said more people are working. Okay, here's the thing.
That's because the amount of people has increased.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Two things. One, when he says more people, lesson in political deconstruction, kids. When Tony Snow says more people are working than ever before.
That's true. I saw three gardeners instead of two.
I was going to say that it's true only in the raw data sense because there are more people in the country than ever before. We just hit 300 million last week. So, of course, that's like...
Allegedly.
So more people are working now than ever before because the population used to be lower. B, when you say more people are working than ever before, more people have got three minimum wage jobs to try to support themselves to pay off bills that they're never possibly going to be able to get paid
off. That's why they're making more money than ever before.
More money than ever before because they've got multiple jobs to try to keep pace with inflation, which the federal minimum wage does not do, by the
way.
More
people are working than ever before. More people own homes.
More people own homes, which is not the same thing as being able to pay for those homes.
More people are working than ever before. More people own homes. More people are making on average more money than ever before. Mm-hmm. And basically, the American Dream Club is getting bigger.
People are making on average more than before, meaning that the wage has gone up, but it has not gone up at the same rate that inflation has. And, of course, if you actually look at it adjusted for inflation, people are making less now than they did, I think, like 40 years ago. So there you go. I had to be a big downer. But, so, I mean, really, it was just so blatant. I couldn't even let it go.
Once again, Tony so reminds us when casting that vote, think nothing except for the U.S. economy.
Do what you are told.
The economy has weathered incredible storms. We have built more wealth in the last 3 years than at any period in our nation's history, period.
That's
an extraordinary accomplishment in the face of two wars and Katrina, all of which have taken place since then.
Uh-huh. All right, whatever you say. Corey, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, on the third nipple issue.
Yes. This is... Attention, Lars listeners. Thank you for tuning in today, and welcome. All right. Yes, sir, on the third nipple issue.
Just randomly.
Is that like the third rail?
Days
Don't
ago,
touch the third nipple.
My girlfriend and I were flipping through random fact books, and one of the facts...
That's pretty hot. Do you and your girlfriend just sit and read, like, random fact books together?
That's what we were doing, yeah.
That's a girl worth keeping, sir. Don't let her get away.
Oh, believe me. I know.
All right.
But anyway, one of the facts was that 1 in 200 women... have a third nipple.
Really? So half? So 1 in 200? Really?
Yeah, that's what it said.
It's got to be higher than that, though. Well, no, I guess we're thinking of no nipples. I wonder how many women in 100 have no nipples, because it seems like just since we've started talking about the no nipples, we have heard. Okay, so there's Sarah's friend. There is that other person in our sort of 1 degree removed circle that we know, and then a guy here dated a girl with no nipple. So that's just 3. So I wonder if that's higher or lower than the third nipple. Now, what does it say where the third nipple is? And these are scientific questions, by the way, because these are medical issues that many women face, at least 1 in 100. And so as part of our, the public interest, convenience, and necessity service, we'd like to learn the answers. Does it say where the third nipple is located, sir?
No, it didn't say about that. I think it actually said something. It was in a random...
Like on the bottom of your foot?
Yeah.
What's this? Oh, hello. And it's just like on the heel of your shoe. Oh, that would be painful. All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go. That's Corey. All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, when it comes to talking about sex or her breast size, Jessica Simpson insists it's just part of being a member of a kooky Southern family. The pop star also recently said she wasn't offended by her father's comments about her busty chest in a magazine interview.
Her busty chest.
Joe Simpson, her father, and often a critical manager, made a comment in reference to her daughter's full-size breast in a GQ magazine interview, which evidently led to nationwide hysteria. In the 2004 interview, he says, "She's got double D's. You can't cover those suckers up."
Oh, God, and you shouldn't. Yeah, all right. Did you ever see the photograph I was talking about that he took of her?
No, I really have no desire to.
Let me show it to you. No, you have to see this. It's not nude. You can't see anything. It's just creepy. Let me find this here. We got a huge pile of gossip. Plus the Inquirer. Do we have things from the Inquirer flag yet? We're going to start a new feature on this program called We Read the Inquirer So You Don't Have To.
Brad caught with a hooker.
Yeah.
A shocking sex scandal.
Yeah, and apparently Clay Aiken is dating Pee Wee Herman. I think.
That's
I don't know.
No, they're buddies.
They're buddies. Is that like that thing about Lance Armstrong and Matthew McConaughey being buddies? Yeah. All right. Whatever you say. I got to find this photograph now. Let's see. Jessica Simpson. There's this photograph, and I apologize. This is not on my website yet, but I'll put it up there, that her dad apparently took of her. Maybe it's we who are weird. Maybe we're just repressed on this program. That I think that there's something a little bizarre about a bunch of boudoir photographs of Jessica Simpson being taken by her dad. Let's see here. Jessica's new sexy images shot by her dad. All right. Now, I want you to look at this photograph. Jessica Simpson's dad took that. All right, now, first of all, let's be honest about something in this photograph. It looks like she doesn't know she's being photographed, like she's taking a nap and he's peering in a window.
It looks
post-coital. Oh, you're right.
Sorry.
There's a head shape in the pillow next to her. Yeah. I never noticed that. Oh,
and
God.
And she's wearing a sheet.
Okay, I'll post this online. I know it's wrong to
tease. Well, maybe he couldn't get anything similar done at Sears.
Are there any more? Is that
he
the
was
only
tired
one?
Of the blue sky background and all of their sex photos.
Yeah.
I'll I will post this at rickemerson.com. No, this is the only one I can find right now.
Oh.
This photograph taken by Joe Simpson. You're right. It totally, and it's a messed up bed. Her hair is tousled, and the pillow next to her, in sort of the passenger seat position, the pillow next to her has, it's concave as though there was a head in it recently.
Oh.
You know, Christ's head. Anywho, so, yeah, so there you go. Anyway, it's just weird. All right, there you go. It's stuff. Oh, come on. That's not true. Really? You swear to God it's true? Well, he says it's true anyway. Okay, well, let's... hello, David. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hello, sir.
The Dave that came up with the Pink Floyd thing for the commercial.
Excellent. God bless you, sir.
Yes, and yes, it is absolutely true. I am one of only 10 human beings on this planet that is documented... physically, medically documented, I have 4 nipples.
Now, let's take these thoughts one at a time. You have 4 nipples.
Yes, I do.
How old are you, sir?
I am 43 years old.
43 years old. Dumb question. Have you always had 4 nipples?
Yes, I have.
All right. Now, you have 2 in the normal place?
Yes, I do.
And then where are the other 2?
They're smaller than the normal size nipples, so you know, I have, you know, feed puppy things. But they are both...
I'm sorry, you have what?
Smaller than normal size nipples.
Okay.
So they don't look like 4, you know, I don't have 4, you know, like quarter size nipples.
Yeah.
I have 2 regular quarter size type nipples, you know, with the areola around them. And then I have 2 very small ones that are located about 5 inches below each nipple.
Really? Now, are the other 2 things recognizable as nipples? Would I be able to pick them out of a lineup as nipples?
Well, you'd have to be closer to me. I mean, if you were 5 feet away, no, but... closer, yes, you would be able to recognize them as nipples.
It's so tempting to have you come in so we can see these, and I know that sounds horrifying, but I think we're all thinking the same thing. How do you know that you are one of only 10 people in the world?
Well, when I was young, I was going to the doctor and getting, you know, something else, the doctor kind of was doing the exam and said, this is usual, and he went and looked at it because there's some bizarre scientific name for it. And so he went and looked it up to see if it was something other than what it was. And at the time, which was back in the 70s, there was 5 documented cases of it. And he, you know, and he kind of jokingly, because I was a military brat, and kind of jokingly to my dad, says, well, you have a mutant son because he's only 1 of 5 people that actually has been documented with this condition.
That's going to feel good. Do women notice this? Have you been with women where do you preemptively point it out, or do they even notice?
Well, I've been married for 21 years, and yes, my wife knows they are there.
But I mean, in other words, did you, when you were with women or even, you know, with your wife, did you mention it beforehand, or did you wait to see if they would notice?
No, it was nothing. I went out of my way. I mean, there was a few times, you know, in the thralls of passion that, you know, I've had females go, oh, is that
a
mole? Because they are very small.
Now, did you ever consider getting them removed?
No, they're actually, no, not at all.
It's part of who you are.
If I was walking down the street right now, you know, without a
nude
shirt on, it wouldn't be like something like, oh my God, that guy's got 4 nipples, because they are very small and they are hard to see from any kind of a distance. But in fact, you know, on further review, they are nipples.
That's the best phrase. On further review, they are nipples.
there's one for the Encyclopedia Emersonian.
Fantastic. All right, David. God bless. Thank you, sir.
Oh, no problem.
There you go. Thank you, sir. There you go. That's David. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Oh, I was just looking at these glow-in-the-dark candy canes that require no electricity or costly wiring.
Oh, this is in the Inquirer?
Yeah. And I wonder if they're real.
Okay, they sell...
How do they glow?
I don't know.
Plutonium. They have you seen this thing that they're selling in the Inquirer, this baby doll? And when I say baby doll...
The creepy newborn with the... rooted hair.
where did it go?
Kind of like a baby Rick Emerson.
There's the... except that the baby hasn't whacked its head on a cupboard. Now, see, now I'm going to be all
you are obsessed. I didn't mean to put
I'm
that
totally
in your head.
I'm totally obsessed because I hit my head on a cabinet door this morning.
That. Oh,
no, and now, right now he's all freaking out that he's going to...
My hair's not going to
grow in that area.
My hair's going to grow in, and I'm going to have one circular weird bald patch on my forehead. That won't look weird.
Oh.
They're selling this doll. It's a doll that's supposed to look like a brand newborn baby, and I hate to... there's really no other way to describe this. It is a doll named... Sophia. Guess how much this doll sells for, by the way.
Oh, I didn't look at the, $249?
Yeah, about $170.
Oh,
is it free shipping?
Each, okay. Her hand-rooted, super-fine baby hair feels absolutely real.
Plus, Real Touch vinyl skin.
Yeah, plus it really looks like a dead baby.
It looks like a dead baby. Tim, does this look like a dead baby?
Oh, that is a dead baby.
It's not a dead baby, but it does look... Well, I mean, as far to the best of my knowledge, they are selling the first So Real newborn with delicately hand-rooted hair.
Oh, maybe that's baby's first baby.
The baby does look dead. If you read the Inquirer,
do the eyes open if you shake it?
Seriously, that's what they should
No, but it finally shuts up!
You don't make a baby with its eyes closed. It's just all creepy.
I'm sorry. It's baby shake me. Own baby shake me.
But why would you want a lifelike rubber doll with real baby hair?
Why would you with real touch vinyl skin? My other dolls, my other baby dolls just don't have the same fleshy feel to them. Good God almighty.
Yeah,
so much value for only $149. All right.
I love on the other side, it's Keith Urban and Nicole, whatever her name is, Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
I was talking about how they picked up stragglers on the side of the road after their car broke down. The same thing as the Tom Cruise thing. Even though Keith Urban, it's impossible since
he's
been
in
rehab.
Yeah. Oh, good God almighty. Yeah, I might scan this photo of the baby in and put it up here. It really is completely creepy. Oh, you get a free comb to style her hand-rooted hair. Real.
Does it say what the hair is made out of?
I don't know.
Real human hair, apparently.
Hand-rooted. I don't know. It's two free gifts. A sleeper gown to wear when she gets home. Reed arrives in a box in the mail.
Ew.
And a comb for her baby fine hair. Real Touch vinyl skin. Here's the thing. We're talking about this baby doll that they sell in the Inquirer. I wonder if that's made out of the same stuff that they make those sex dolls out of now. They have that stuff, which Sarah and I went to Fantasy Video that one time, and they were selling these sex dolls made out of, like, I forget what it was called, but it was some plastic
substance.
It is.
I think they were Real Touch. Yeah, it was Real Touch.
That's creepy that they would make baby dolls out of the same stuff they make sex dolls out of. With hand-rooted hair. Oh, good God. I got to put this down. It's freaking me out. All right, I'm going to post this picture of Jessica Simpson that her dad took. Oh, we got some good Britney news as well. Let's see. What have we got? This is Jeff. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
You know, why don't they call it Shaken Baby?
I'm sorry?
Shaken Baby? Yeah, because you were saying how, you know, you shake it and it finally shuts up. They could call it Shaken Baby, like Shake and Bake.
Oh, I didn't get that. Okay.
Oh, all right, then.
All right, thank you, sir. Okay. We're not going to call it... Baby Shake Me is funnier anyway. Okay. Should we break?
Yeah.
Let's break, kids. When we come back, we got the gossip news and yet more Tim Riley. And also some Britney Spears news on the way as well. That was awkward. Oh, and Hanging with Hogan. We're going to talk about Hanging with Hogan as well. It's 503-733-2970. I've got it over here, the Britney news. I've got it over here. It's into my gossip pile. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Social distortion. She's bulbous? What does that even mean?
She's just kind of strange looking. I knew you were going to do this.
You gave me the...
I hate it when you eat on the
I can either do the show or I can eat.
Fine, eat. We can have Tim do some news.
Ladies and gentlemen, these Tina Yather bars are fantastic. They ought to just have on a Yather bar. Yather's bar.
Yather's.
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 Yather's. Can I ask you this? Did you think it was weird that Tina Yoders identified herself as, quote, being a Mexican, end quote?
I really have no familiarity with her career at all, so I have no idea. Plus, I have a couple friends.
I don't really, that's not really a career question. That's a, she's a,
well, I don't know if she used
a blue-eyed,
to look
blonde-haired
more...
girl.
No, my friend Rainiera is a blue-eyed, blonde-haired Mexican.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
These Tina Yoders bars are fantastic.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
I'm just saying.
Tim's time.
Oh, okay. I'll just be
we
over here.
We can finish your candy.
I'll be over
and
here
then
with
by the time I finish your story, it should be over with.
With my Tina Yoders bar.
Well, an attorney for an Alcon University professor, this is in Mississippi, said his client admitted he was wrong to discipline his child with ants. Professor Festus Ogilvie.
Festus Ogilvie.
Oh, great.
Pled no contest to one count of felony child sex abuse for putting ants on his child.
And pled guilty to being a character from a Lemony Snicket novel.
Ogilvie's attorney, Robert Smith, said in exchange for a no contest plea, the four other accounts have been dropped. A sentencing date has not been set.
He disciplined his child with ants?
With ants.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just bit my tongue.
Ha-ha.
Shut up. Are you touching? What are you doing there?
I was scratching.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. A 23-year-old Maryland man who allegedly punched down a cookie monster at Middletown's Sesame Place last summer is trying to turn the tables on the teenage girls who play the lovable characters by claiming it was the cookie monster who attacked him.
He punched a mascot?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
Lee McFadder on trial in Bucks County Court claiming Cookie Monster, played by Jeannie McNellis, who's only 18, first assaulted his 6-year-old daughter at 4 times when the girl tried to get her picture taken with the Sesame Street character that afternoon.
Me no take picture. Me kick you in groin repeatedly.
But the prosecutor scoffed at the allegation, saying it was the defendant who kicked the Cookie Monster. Enraged at his daughter could not get a photo, McFadder got into Cookie Monster's face and accused the character of ignoring his daughter.
Me on union mandated 15-minute
break. But the Cookie Monster was not allowed to speak. Continued walking toward the Muppet Hut to take her break.
The Muppet Hut.
The Muppet Hut.
That's fantastic.
I guess that's where they smoke.
That's where they go to die.
Me old now. Me leave tribe. Go in Muppet Hut. Great spirit. Go to sky.
Witnesses have a different version. Several said they saw McFadden kick the Cookie Monster over and then kick and punch the character in the groin. Where is the Cookie Monster's groin? And how might it be found?
Oh, that's fantastic. Kicking the Cookie Monster repeatedly in the groin. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I love this show.
An unidentified man in the crowd finally grabbed McFadden and pulled him off the Cookie Monster. That allowed the monster and her helper hostess to get away.
Me need stitching for serious internal bleeding.
Up to the Muppet Hut they went.
Oh, fantastic. I love story. You know what we got to do one of these days?
What's that?
Just do another one of our mascot abuse stories. You know, one of our mascot abuse days where we just do a solid hour of mascots just being beaten and pelted senseless. Being pushed. Was it you weren't the Muppet? You weren't the mascot that got pushed on the hill, were you?
No. I was the moose who was kicked in the groin.
Scotty, please excerpt Tim saying, I was the moose who was kicked in the groin. Was it for a radio station?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, was it K-Hay? Oh.
No, it was the Joy FM Moose.
Why was it a moose?
Moose are plentiful in New Hampshire.
Okay, excellent. And so why did they kick you in the groin?
Just for fun. A hot day. It was 90 degrees, and I'm trying to stand up for these 30-pound antlers that go up like 10 feet in both directions, which is difficult enough. I almost passed out in the car on the way in.
I'm just picturing you. What kind of car was it?
Yeah, it was a real small. I think it was like, something like
Renault. Oh.
I'm just picturing you in a full moose costume with huge antlers in the sun, driving a Renault in like 100-degree weather. Just trying to cling onto your consciousness. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you could get to an event where you were just kicked in the groin by children.
Yep.
Sarah doesn't find this as funny. You don't find mascot abuse as funny as we do. That is to say, I. And Scotty J knows the best part is you having the moose smile even after being kicked in the groin. Just a big smile stitched right onto the front of the costume. Oh, no, we had some guy. We did the first of one. We've done this a couple times, a whole day. We filter in nothing but stories about mascot abuse all day. And there was some guy that was dressed up as like, I don't know, like a giant bird or something, and he was beaten. And it's always the groin. Why do they go for the sack? Always they
That's
go for the sack.
That's all kids think about. When they see a costume character, how can we hurt this the most in the shortest period of time?
It's right to the groin. Anytime kids see a mascot, right to the groin. Yeah, heads are too high, as Scotty is noting. That's right, too. And so this guy was dressed as like a giant pelican, and the kids just came up and they kicked him repeatedly in the junk, and then they shoved him down a hill, and he rolled down the hill into a drainage ditch. Sarah's not laughing at all.
I don't have a penis.
Oh, it has nothing to do with the penis, baby. You don't
I
need
think
to...
mascot stories cater more toward guys who think groin kicking is funny.
It's not just that they kicked him in the groin. He was dressed as a pelican. They kicked him in the groin and shoved him down a hill into a drainage ditch. He rolled down the hill in a huge pelican outfit. Oh, come on. Oh.
For those wondering how to get big numbers during the midday.
Seriously, the money, the number, the real ratings are in, real ratings are mascot abuse. Oh. Oh, that's funny. You know, we were talking to Lara earlier, my wife who called in, and was talking about how Sarah and I have a kind of guy-guy relationship, which is why Sarah and I will often have these discussions about, like, other chicks, and I will, you know, Sarah will be, you know, blah, 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 and how, you know, how Sarah knows kind of what my type is and so forth. But there are moments where you don't, there are moments where we lose our guy-guy connection, Sarah Dillon, and mascots being kicked in the groin. It's one of those places.
It's true.
You and I take different forks in the road. Let's do one more. We'll break. We'll come back. And I will either do gossip or we'll do hanging with Hogan. One of the two.
Well, a Syracuse University student is recovering in the hospital after she fell down a stairway that spanned four floors. 19-year-old Gabriel Mandel was trying to slide down the staircase handrail at 12:30 in the morning when she fell between the staircases.
Zing.
Alcohol may have played a role in Mandel's fall.
and stupidity.
But she has been upgraded from serious to fair condition.
She has not been upgraded from stupid to competent, though. All right, there you go, kids. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, world's greatest news fan.
Many times.
Tim Riley, there
Many
you
time.
Go. God bless you, sir. All right, let's break. We'll come back and, well, I'll just do this. Brittany Watch as part of our gossip when we come back. God damn, I love meatloaf. That record comes out in just like 10 days. Next Tuesday, tomorrow, a week from tomorrow. Let's just listen. Let's just turn it up and listen to this for a second. Bagpipes in this song, Scotty. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson radio program.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Thank you so much.
Hello, Scotty J.
Hello, Scotty J.
How's it going?
Is this... Could I be reading this correctly? Do we have 28 pair of tickets to give away to House of Midnight?
You know, that's a good question.
How is that even possible?
28 pair or 28 total?
That's 14 pair. How is that even possible? That's insane.
Right. So she said, you know, just do what we can do.
Stand on the roof and just throw them out over the city like so much confetti.
Exactly.
Right. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks, man. We got Lycus coming up. Are you sad that you're not going to be able to be in the studio with us and Tom? We should talk about this, actually. It's very cool. I'll talk about this more tomorrow. But, so Wednesday, that is today, say the day after tomorrow, Wednesday, we will be doing our show from, none of this matters to anybody at home, unless it's just a big disaster. Wednesday, we're going to be doing our show from a different studio. We're going to be doing our show from the studio over on First Avenue, because right now we're in the Coin Building downtown. And that is a dry run for next Thursday, not this coming Thursday, but next Thursday, because next Thursday, the 2nd, Tom Lycus will be doing his nationwide show from the CBS studios.
which is kind of cool. And he's going to join us on the last hour of our show that day.
Sarah Dillon. I thought you said half hour.
Hour, half hour, 4 hours, whatever. The point is, you'll be like 2 feet away from him.
Lucky me.
Sitting, look extra hot that day. Wear something low cut.
I'll wear like a big push-up bra.
Try to bend over a lot and pick up pencils. You really should. That'd be fantastic. Oh, I dropped something, Tom.
Look, I have to pick up a coin off the floor.
The last thing I want to do is pander to Tom Likas and his skewed perception of women.
See, and I'm a big fan, so...
Of course you are.
Listen, bam! Yeah. This is very cool. So Wednesday, if we sound a little different Wednesday, and I'll talk about this more tomorrow, it's because we're doing our show from First Avenue, because I don't want to, like, I want to make sure there's any technical glitches get ironed out. So next Thursday, the 2nd of November, we will be doing our show over there, and Tom Likas will be actually joining us in the 2 o'clock hour, and then doing his national show from the studios. Then next Friday, November 3rd, Scotty's dreams all come true. Tom will be doing his show live from Barracuda. And people have been asking if there's a cover, if there's tickets. No cover, no tickets, nothing, just be there. Doors open around 2 o'clock. But yeah, there's no cover, there's no minimum drink, there's nothing. Just doesn't matter, just be there. It's going to be a good time for everybody. We're all going to be there, the whole crew and the whole staff and cast
Scotty
are all going
to
be there.
It's all right for you to start drinking at 3 o'clock.
Totally, you can start drinking.
It's a
drinking.
Good excuse.
You can drink, you can ogle, you can lech, you can leer, Scotty.
So we're gonna bolt from here over to there, and he's already going to be on the air.
On November 3rd?
Right.
Probably what will happen is actually an interesting question, because I know that I think that we're going to be kind of, you know, Sarah and I especially are going to be sort of, you know, on stage, kind of talk to the crowd, you know, some of the breaks, you know, and start to kind of talk to people. So I think what will happen is probably like before the show ends, maybe at like 2:45, 2:35, I or Sarah and I probably will kind of leave and head over there. And we'll have to figure out some way to, like, for the final. I might have to do the 20 final minutes actually, like, on the phone walking over or, you know,
oh,
whatever.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, because so, we can just walk there from here.
Totally. And then Likas comes on and does the show. Oh,
Johnny, we have put a lot of time.
Goddamn belly aching.
It's only once a year.
Rolling your eyes.
This is like Christmas for me. It's only once a year.
You're going to get to meet him. You'll be backstage.
You can sit on his lap if you'd like.
And you know what, to tell you the truth, he's not going to be that honest, interested in meeting you unless you have, you know, huge boobs and
understand.
Not wearing a bra.
If you get working on it, you could probably get some huge boobs. Just start drinking a lot of beer. Don't exercise. Wear a push-up bra, Scotty. So, it's like Christmas to you. Are you going to call him Dad?
Are you inviting Mrs. J to come?
No.
And Tom would want it that way. Well done, Scotty.
Going to invite my brother, too, so.
Your brother in the assless chaps?
Yeah. Yes.
Is your brother's longtime friend going to come?
Yeah, probably. Oh, I know about 10 guys that want to go, so.
Really? Are they all longtime friends?
And it'll be
do they all wear little sailor caps?
3 o'clock drinking thing.
Yeah. Sure. Sarah's best day ever! Like us next Friday, November 3rd, live from Barracuda.
I always just end up getting really drunk at those things because I can't handle it.
That is the place to do it.
All the chanting of dump that bitch.
Well, there's like 100 bars at that place, too. I mean, and I know they're going to have all female servers, too. I know there's all female barmaids that night. There's like no male staff at all. It's entire female staff.
I think there might be some male staff.
I'm not saying anything.
That's fantastic. Hey, speaking of your brother, by the way, do you remember Sarah calling you on Saturday night from Aaron's reception?
I do.
And what was it that you did? You and your brother and your brother's friend were just sitting around nude or something?
No, that was the night before.
I'm sorry?
The night before. Yeah. Let me back up.
You want?
Yeah, I do.
I'll just stand back. You just explain away.
The night before, I was at my brother's place and we had a few toddies. Because,
are you and your brother lovers?
No. In fact,
toddies.
I hadn't been over there for a while.
Are we in Edinburgh?
Since the last time when you guys watched Brokeback Mountain.
Right.
Yeah. So what were you... So when Sarah called you on Saturday, where were you?
In bed.
Right.
It was 7 o'clock.
I know. It was pretty bad. I was nursing a really
did bad. I hear you right?
A
or
really
did you
bad
say,
headache.
So you said that you were really hungover from the night before because you were drinking toddies with your brother and a special friend to celebrate that he got a new fish tank?
You got it right.
Is there anything you'd like to tell us?
No, that's it. No, actually, I got a fish tank a couple of months ago, and he hadn't been over to my place for a while, and he saw the tank, and he's like, I'm going to get one of those.
You have matching fish tanks.
He had me come over to take a look at it, and we're like, well, hey, you know.
Come up and look at my fish tank had a lot different meaning for me when I was in college.
Seriously. Yes.
I guess so.
And so what? So I'm just picturing a bunch of you in a in an empty house with like cardboard boxes everywhere and nothing unpacked, and like a $10,000 fish tank in the middle of the room, and you guys sitting on lawn chairs at 10 o'clock at night inside the house drinking, you know, silently.
TV's up, stereo's up, and the tank's up. That's right.
And no women anywhere. No women of any kind anywhere at all. All right. Good times, Scotty J.
What's a toddy, Scotty J?
A drink.
But what kind of drink is it?
It could be anything, but for me, it's whiskey.
So really, a toddy is PBR. It just doesn't matter, right?
No, it doesn't.
A toddy. I think a toddy.
It used to be like a martini.
A flaming
right?
drink?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
One of those drinks.
A flaming drink, though.
For one of those people?
No, no. The ones that are on fire. That's what I'm talking about. What are you
They're
talking
flaming.
About?
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, Scotty J. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Tom Likas.
Woo!
We're going to be doing our show. You know, the thing is, irony is that Sarah will be as close to you. She'll be as close to Tom as she is to you right now. Sadly, you will still be here. Well, can't win them all.
That's
all right.
Mean.
No, we'll get you. No, you'll get the meeting. We'll take you backstage. Take it backstage. You can kiss his ring. All right. There you go. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I had other notes from the wedding, but I'm not even going to get to them. There's just no point. There's too many observations to even get to. Let's see. Where did I... I've lost it. Oh, wait. Here we go. Let's see. Observations from the geek wedding. Lightsaber dance, check. Boba Fett greeting people, check. Clyde Heckle's toasters, check. By the way, I gotta think this is not a plug. There is no consideration for this. This is simply a thing I'm gonna say. We had this. Somebody emailed me about the wedding that I went to, and they said, Rick, how did you pull off the fashioning for the wedding? Hat, no hat, fashionable do-rag, what? With all due humility, I do think I look pretty good at the wedding. But I can't take any credit for it. Like everything, anything good about me, I can't take any credit for. So I got to thank our good friend Tony Hutchison, who I walked into the suit place downtown, man. I walked right in off the street, just totally picked it at random. I just walked into the men's warehouse, and I'm like, hey, it's just like my brother's wedding. I'm like, hey, I got a wedding in like 12 hours, and I didn't pick anything out, and please don't make me look retarded. And he put me in a suit, and it looked good, and then I walked next door to that hat place. What's it called? Hammond's? Helmer's? Helmer's?
Oh, that hat looked pretty pricey.
Yes. I got to wear that hat. The problem is, I walked into the hat place with the suit, and so I worked it. I walk in, and I hold up the suit, and I say, this is the suit I just bought. I can't show the top of my head. I have a wedding. Please, here's my credit card. Please help me. And so she totally had my number because the hat chick at the haberdashery downtown, she totally reached down. She picked up and said, she's like, this is the one Frank Sinatra wore. And I'm like, all right, there you go. Sold. Like, that's all I needed to hear. And so I had this black Stetson with the feather. The feather was the weirdest thing because, like, they pull out, like, a whole dresser drawer full of feathers. Like, every conceivable.
Oh, so you picked your feather.
I did. That's the only thing I picked out was the feather. So I put the feather on it, and so I had, like, the full-on suit and the Stetson and the feather and the whole thing, and it actually doesn't sound as retarded as I'm describing. It actually did not look all that bad. So, again, this is not a plug. I've received nothing in exchange for this. I was going to say thanks to Tony at the Men's Warehouse, man. That guy put me in a good suit. And the chick, I think her name was Andrea. John Holman's, whatever that, with a hat place downtown. They put me in a good hat. A hat which I now have to wear, like, once a week for the rest of my life so it ends up working out financially. You don't, look, I'm not trying to knock on the place. Everybody's got to make a living. But, goddamn, you never knew that hats were so expensive. I didn't want to tell you how much that hat cost. Let me just put it this way. The hat that I wore to Aaron's wedding, I know that Sinatra wore it, and, you know, I look decent in it. Somewhere there's a great photograph of me in this three-piece suit standing with the guy in the Boba Fett costume. I'm going to say this. The hat that I wore to Aaron's wedding, that cost, like, a fourth of what my first car cost. So, there you go.
Oh.
Yeah, good time. So, you see what I mean? So, I got to find,
Well, do you want to quickly go through the rest of the list?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, this is not a whole... I mean, there's a million other things that happened at the wedding, but you know what? There's going to be a photo album, I would imagine, since they're geeks. There's going to be a photo album put up somewhere, and everybody will get to see it. So Aaron looked good, too, man. Aaron,
mm-hmm.
That guy shines up well. So, all right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Hey, buddy. You know, I'll slam through these real quick because this something's been driving me nuts all day.
Yeah.
You got the hottest picture ever, Candy Crowley, Peter Carlin, Bob Constantini, Clyde Lewis. No Britney Spears news.
Oh, damn. I didn't do that.
And,
oh, snap.
No, good people almost died.
No, we did. Well, we did person who almost died. We did the drunk idiot girl sliding down a stair banister four stories up.
Yes.
That should count.
That counts. All right.
All right.
Plus one, 55. This has been going through my head all day because Sarah was talking about this party, which is like the most awesome idea, the blender, celebrity blender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I threw out a couple here. I don't know if you came up with these already, Sarah, but you tell me. You've got Nicole Richie Valens.
Nicole Richie Valens is good. And you just do like, God, how would you do Nicole Richie Valens? Just like blood all over you.
And look skeletal.
Yes, totally.
Captain Kirk Cameron.
Captain
Kirk Cameron.
So this is for a party you're going to on Halloween?
Yeah, I suggested my friend looks kind of like Ashley Simpson. I want him to be Ashley O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Here's one for Rick because he's such a fan of the radio. You dress up like a pirate and you're Jeffrey Rush Limbaugh.
Ah, I see. Okay, Pirates of the Caribbean. Okay, there you go.
And then my favorite, Lil Kim Jong-il.
That's awesome.
Genius. Lil Kim Jong with like a pasty over your boob. There you go.
Oh, my God.
It does itself. That's genius. You ought to just call dibs on that one right now,
my
friend.
This is what we did, yeah, for literally 3 hours.
Dress up like Lil Kim Jong-il.
Oh, I hear a whole listy show coming tomorrow with more of these.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you guys tomorrow. All right, there you go. Yeah,
okay.
Hi, it's Chris.
Somewhere there. There goes Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Bob Costantini and CNN senior political correspondent Candy Crowley, who sounded fantastic, by the way. And I do think she got the show. We had her back at some point. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. News director, news maven, news god above all, Tim Riley. Scotty J is the PA, and of course the manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is Dave Zinn. Like us next, Don and Mike at 7. Don't forget, Tom Like us live at Barracuda Friday, November 3rd. He'll be talking about it. We'll be talking about it. Stay tuned for details on how to meet the man, et cetera, et cetera. And back tomorrow at 11 a.m. As always, my friends, I'll let the bastards grind it down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Someone ate baby.